Hi, I'm Donovan Brown, Principal DevOps Program Manager at Microsoft, and I'm here with Thiago.
Hey, I'm Thiago Almeida. I'm a Principal Software Development Engineer here at Microsoft as well.
And we're in our second video of a series on how to rub DevOps on your bots and make them better. Yeah. And this one's going to be focusing more on continuous integration. So for those who don't know, continuous integration is the practice where upon every check-in, you actually want to download, compile, test, and package your code. And we're going to do the exact same thing for bots as well. Yeah. And you can do this for any type of software that you're doing. So again, we allow you to do bots in both C# and in Node.js. And the beautiful thing about Visual Studio Team Services is that it works for any language targeting any platform. So pick whatever language makes you happy, and we're going to be able to build it for you using Team Services.
Yep.
Things you want to consider, you want to make sure that you have all the dependent services that you need. So we are able to run things like NPM packages, we're able to run NuGet restores for you as part of that. But you also want to make sure that you're building any databases that you need. It's an entire solution that we want to deploy, not just the bot, but any web services it might rely upon, any database schemas. You might have seen in the recent VS launch that we have Redgate now in the box that gives you ways to manage your databases using migrations. You can still use SSDT if you prefer the SQL Server data tools approach to databases as well. But just make sure that everything that you need is actually being built together. And you want to build it as frequently as you possibly can. That way, as soon as you make a mistake, you know about it.
Yeah.
I've been developing software for so long, we used to do weekly builds. And I would write bugs on Monday, and I'd write bugs on Tuesday, and I'd write bugs on Wednesday. And not until Friday would they tell me I broke the build. And it would take me forever to figure out what code I wrote Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that broke the build. But if I break the build at 9 o'clock, and the build shows me that at 9:03, I know exactly what I was working on, and it's really easy for me to go back in and correct it. And the same is true for your bots as well.
Yeah. And Donovan mentioned the first one there, you know, keep in mind all the dependent services. Mm-hmm. In the first video, we talked about how, you know, your bot code will use the bot framework for the conversations and dialogues, but eventually you will need to go out to some external dependency or to a database or to Azure Search or something else to look things up and act upon them and then give a response to your user. The other thing that we have here, and I called it out on the first one, is make sure that when you're writing the bot in Node or in .NET, put it in put all the environment variables for anything that you need there. So the bot ID, the bot password, and anything else, you know, to talk to those external dependencies, for example, put them in environment variables, because then from continuous deployment or even in CI, you can then use those from here instead of being hard-coded into your code.
Absolutely. Very good point. So what I think we're going to do now is we're actually going to jump right into a demo. So this is going to be a shorter video than the introduction. So what we're going to focus on now is how we can actually implement CI using Visual Studio Team Services for your bots as well. So what I'm going to do now is just hop over into a web browser where we happen to have some builds actually created. So what you're looking at now is the summary screen for all the build definitions that we have created for our bot projects. And as we showed you in the very first video, we can write it in both Node and in C#. So there's a build definition for both of those, one for Node and one for C#. What I really liked about the way that we were able to do this is that even for Node, we're able to do everything that you'd expect to have done even if it were .NET. For example, let's just jump into a summary here real quick. And I want to show you what actually gets built for you. Not only do we run all the builds for you, but we're able to run tests as well. And when those tests were executed, one of my favorite parts is we're able to calculate code coverage against the Node.js application. So again, any language, any platform, bots or otherwise, we're able to give you this really rich experience. You'll notice over here, the build was able to collect all of the changes that were made since the last time a build kicked off. If you were using Visual Studio Team Services for work item tracking, for those who don't know what Visual Studio Team Services is, I like to say it as it's everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. It's your source control, it's your work item tracking, it's your bug tracking, test case management, it's your build, it's your release, it's even your package management. Exactly. Yeah. So those NPM packages, if your company wanted to make sure that the packages that you use have been blessed by them, they can actually store them in a local private repository, and then we can actually pull our packages down from there as well. So it's everything that you need. And this is just an example of one build definition. Now, how did we get to this point? This is a build summary, but if we go and edit this build definition, you'll start to see how it was able to be built. It's just a series of tasks that I need to perform to achieve the goal of building my bot. And what's really nice about this is that all this heavy lifting is done by what we call an agent. The agent can be installed on Windows, it can be installed on Mac, and it can be installed on Linux. So you can build these bots anywhere that you feel comfortable. You don't have to build them on a Windows machine if you'd prefer to build them on a Linux machine. You can build them anywhere that you want. We also offer pools for you in the cloud. So if I were to come over here to Options, and come over here to the default agent pool, you'll see here that there's default, hosted, and hosted Linux. Default is a pool that by default is empty, but allows you to actually install and add your own private agents. I'm a huge fan of private agents. Almost all my builds are done out of a private agent because it allows me to build a machine of any size that I want, and I usually build a big machine. And then what I will do is I will then install all the tools that I want on that particular machine. So when it's time for me to queue a build, there's no one in line but me. It instantly queues up and it's running on all 8 cores of this monster build machine, and my builds are done in seconds, right? So I'm a huge fan of private build agents. Now I understand some people don't want to maintain a build machine. They don't want to have to worry about patching it and things like that. And that's why we offer two different versions of hosted builds. We have the hosted one that is Windows. And then we also have the Linux one as well, which is in preview, which is awesome. Oh, it's even the Linux one even has Docker tools installed on it. So you can build your Docker images without having to install anything, which is really nice. So I wanted to point out that we have several pools for you. You are in complete control of the default pool, but our other pools are fantastic as well. If you don't want to have a zero maintenance build system, you can actually have that with ours as well. Another thing that I like to point out is that these are the tasks necessary to build a bot, but we also have a lot of other tasks. So if you wanted to go back in and do something like white source, wow, white source allows you to look at all the NuGet packages that you've downloaded and determine if there's any vulnerabilities in those that need to go ahead and be corrected. It'll let you know if you're using any of them that you have the GPL licensing, which means you have to open source all of your stuff too, and it flags all that stuff for you, which is fantastic. So there's a huge list of different types of tasks that we have. The majority of these come right out of the box, but if you don't see what you want here, you can write your own. So you could either write them in Node.js or you can write them in PowerShell. And another thing that you can do is you can actually go to our marketplace. Our marketplace is a collection of extensions that allow you to be able to go in and add value to your team services account. And actually, Thiago and I have been toying around with some ideas for extensions that we might add that are going to enhance the way that you write bots as well. So it's a fantastic place for you to go off and start finding additional value. So before you write your own, I'd come up here and check to see if someone hasn't already beat you to it. And if not, go ahead and write your own. It's really easy to do. In addition to that, we're talking about environment variables. You can also use different type of variables as part of your build as well. So you don't have to store them in an environment variable if you want to be able to pass them down as part of your CI or your release pipeline. And what I really like about this is that if it's sensitive information, you can actually encrypt this sensitive information and make sure that no one can actually see it. If I were to actually lock this padlock, save my changes, if I were to come back and unlock it, it would wipe out the value. So only the person who locked it and secured it would ever be able to see that particular value. We were talking about CI, and CI stands for continuous integration, which means upon every check-in, I want to be able to run my build, and that's as easy as checking this box, and our system will watch whatever repository that you have your bot in, and then store and start to build it for you every single time you make a change to your bot. Another thing I like to point out is the fact that we can also create bugs against developers who break the build. CI builds have a tendency to break. They're supposed to fail fast. What happens most often, though, is they fail and no one pays attention to them. And then you have this technical debt being built up with all these failed builds. By simply checking this box, if I were to check in code that broke the build, there would be a bug created with my name on it saying that I broke the build, and it would haunt me until I went and actually fixed the build. So it's really powerful to be able to go back in and do that as well.
It would probably be me creating that bug.
Possibly. You'd be surprised, man. I really like the fact that you're able to have this one simple feature. Because another thing that I like to use is a tool called SonarQube. And SonarQube has these gates, quality gates, that you can actually define in SonarQube. Our integration with SonarQube is so great that if any of those gates fail, like for example, it just happened to me the other day, I had written new code, but I didn't write any test for it, and SonarQube detected that I had written new code, but I didn't write any test, and actually failed my build and wouldn't let me go through, and I had a bug signed it to me saying, you need to go back and write some more tests. So fantastic integration here as well. Final two tabs, retention is basically how many versions of our bot do we want to keep around, and that all depends on how often you're deploying and if you have multiple versions out. Yeah. And then finally, a history here. So as you can see, he's been hard at work trying to get this to work for us with lots of updates, and if we wanted to, we could go back again and compare and contrast these. The output of your build are what we call artifacts, and those are going to be updated with these tasks here, where we take the final binary that we're going to need to deploy into Azure, and we package it in such a way that we can then get access to it from our release system and then release it into our different environments.
Yeah, the interesting ones here is archive files. That's because when we deploy to a web app from here, we're basically passing that with a web app deploy.
Right?
We pass it the zip file that we're creating here later on in the release. But also you can see we're copying ARM templates, and that's because as part of release, we need the actual ARM templates JSON files plus the zip file from the archives. So when we archive, we already tell it to put it in the output folder that the publish artifact task is going to use, but also the ARM templates are being copied there so that we have both the zip file and the templates in the staging or the publish artifacts folder.
Right, and for those who don't know what ARM templates are, ARM is Azure Resource Manager. It allows us to have a resource group be a logical grouping of all the resources that I need to be provisioned in Azure so that I can then deploy my application inside of them. And this is an example of one DevOps best practice called infrastructure as code, where I codify the environment upon which I intend to run my application such that I can then use these files to go and provision that that environment or those resources as part of my deployment. So I could literally destroy my entire QA environment, run my release again, it will stand that environment up, and then deploy my code safely inside of it, and then allow me to run test. This is fantastic for disaster recovery and consistency between your environments. If you've ever had code run successfully in one environment, but not in another, and it was a configuration change that was the culprit, these are the type of best practices that can prevent that from happening for you. So what we're doing here is we're packaging up those ARM templates along with the zip file that defines our bot so that we can then use those in our deployment, which we'll talk about in a later video of this series.
Yep. So as you can tell, it's pretty much similar to a web app deploy, or if you're creating any web app. The bot itself is just a web API written in Node or in .NET.
Great.
So in VSTS, or even if you're using different places to create the build, you are basically building that in Node or C#, just like you used to for websites.
And before we wrap up, I just want to take people into seeing what the build for the C# looks like so that we kind of a complete story here. Again, you would use Visual Studio. You're going to use NuGet versus NPM to resolve your packages. But just like we did before, we're able to package up our test, get our test results, package up those artifacts so that we can then go ahead and move forward as well.
And for the C# one, I actually wrote more than just unit tests, so that's why I have an extra task there, copy functional tests to output. And that's because we're going to run those functional tests after we deployed the web app later on in a release definition.
Okay, perfect. So there you have it. When you want to apply CI to your bots, it's like applying CI to anything else that you've actually done. You get to use and harness all the power of Visual Studio Team Services to build your code regardless if it's Node.js or if it's .NET. So that's all we wanted to show you today in this particular video. We'll see you next time when we start talking about continuous delivery. Thanks so much.
See ya.